Ladies and gentlemen, Red Nation, what's shaking, everyone? We've got double the fun on this show because it's not just me and it's not just my co-pilot, Michael Brown, because we figured tonight would be a very important game. That's why instead of our usual playground over at Spotify Green Room, we are instead broadcasting this live on StreamYard with our Twitter account at DreamshakeSBN. At the Dream Take and on our Facebook page. So we're coming at y'all from multiple angles tonight, and hopefully we can discuss all of this, Mike. It's been a while since you and I have been together to talk about all this, and before we went live, we talked about how different we feel about this game. But let's jump right in, Mike. But before we get into this, I need to ask you, how have you been? If you've been on a vacation or two since I've last talked to you. You've been bowling, I hear. You know, I only hear about your life in text, but I don't hear the emotion in your voice. So I'd love to hear how you're doing, and then we'll talk about Rockets basketball.
Yeah, man, all is well. University of Houston basketball won last night. I was in the house for that. So great to see one of my basketball teams in my
life. At least we have one winning basketball team in the city of Houston.
Yeah, no, Cougs look good. University of Houston football is 8-1. Big game against Temple this weekend. Yeah, man. Went on the cruise. I'll be in Buffalo in a couple of weeks, it looks like. So just traveling, man. It looks like you're Mr. 27 jobs all across different platforms, and you're killing it, man. So congrats and mazel to you.
I appreciate that. But the one job I want to talk about tonight is this Rockets game and being the host of the Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. We got a 112-104 loss tonight. And for the Rockets, it's their eighth straight loss. Nine. Tonight was nine. It was coming in tonight was eight. You know what? I lost track, to be honest with you. The games, we play 82 seasons in this season. It's not just we play 82 one-game seasons, not one 82-game season here. When you are a rebuilding team like the Rockets, and they fell tonight 112-104 to the Detroit Pistons. A lot of intrigue behind this game, obviously, with the history the two teams have. Cade Cunningham for the Detroit Pistons being the number one pick in the draft. Jalen Green, the number two pick. We'll talk about those two guys as well. But overall, just initial thoughts on tonight, Mike. I know you've got some strong feelings about this, so I'm going to pass the mic over to you.
This is rock bottom, dude. And this is – we talked about this at the beginning of the year. You had a much better grasp, I think, of where this team was.
I was going to say this, Mike. I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't want to bring it up.
Well, no. I mean, look, I'm going to bring it up. But I will say this. I will say this, that you – okay, it didn't take a lot, like, for you to say what you said. We all – like, the fan base as a whole, more people agreed with you than they agreed with me. Here's my problem, right? The mishandling of this roster is at an epic proportional level by Silas that – go to Twitter right now, and you and I have different views of Rockets Twitter – they're very emotional, and I'm an emotional fan. Oh, yeah. I will be the first one to say that, right? That which I love, right? Like, it's what a fan base is supposed to do. You're supposed to live and die with your team.
Yes.
It's time to question if Steven Silas is the right guy for this team. 100%.
Okay, and I will 100%. Do that.
That's where I'm at with it.
All right. Well, I just want to say this. You brought it up, so it's open season at this point. We talked about the first 20 games of the season. And Mike, if I'm not mistaken, you said this team would go 11-9.
Yeah, I thought that we actually would have a competent coaching staff that knew what they were doing, and we don't. We absolutely don't.
Here's and look, I understand why people are questioning this coaching staff.
Rightfully so.
At the same time, you look at this team and the losses they've had over the past eight or nine games or such, most of these come against the best teams in the West right now. Utah, Dallas, Phoenix, the Lakers, Warriors, Utah, all of those teams are within the top six in the West right now. I think I read, like, Lashard and I were talking about it before the show. I think Lashard said, like, the winning percentage of the teams coming into tonight was, like, 58%, which is, you know, probably the best in the NBA compared to any team with, you know, strength of schedule. So, and the Rockets were competing in these games. Let's remind ourselves that. You know, the Rockets, they lost by, like, a buck. They had a chance to win in L.A. They had a chance to win in Denver. They were competitive in Phoenix. They were competitive against, you know, the Warriors for a bit. And the Warriors are the best team in the NBA right now. So, and look, and then you get tonight, you get another one-win team in the Pistons, and things just didn't fall your way. And you say the structure, and I agree. I don't – look, a lot of people – like, I'm going to ask you this, and I think I know your answer, but I want you to explain this to me. Why is the coaching bad?
Because they're terrible. Why is bad? They don't know how to run a rotation, Jeremy.
Run a rotation. Okay, so running a rotation.
None.
What part of that rotation is bad?
Where do you want me to – how much time do you have? How do you let Daniel House play 19 minutes tonight?
Daniel House, I'm glad you brought that up.
Why is KJ Martin only playing 9 minutes tonight? Why are you giving Eric Gordon 30 minutes on the court when from the field he's 4 of 9?
Like, yeah, but would you agree that Eric Gordon has played well so far this season?
I would say
he's played well.
I would say on the whole, but recently he's done absolutely nothing for me.
Okay, but the thing is with Eric Gordon is a team will pay a first-round pick for him.
Oh, great. So let's go through even more draft because we've seen how well that's worked out so far this year. And you and I, look, you're never going to get –
team needs more draft picks?
No, they need legit NBA talent.
Well, that's how you get NBA talent. Oh, go God. Through the draft.
Yeah, when you have a cheap-ass owner who won't actually pay – for legitimate talent when he knows he doesn't have a chance to win a title.
Who should he go pay right now, Mike? Who should he go pay for?
I mean, in this past offseason.
Let me fix this team right now because it sounds like it's easy on your
end. They sure as hell could have used Jared Allen in that Harden deal. They could have used Jared Allen on that deal.
Back to this. We've been talking about this for a year now.
But it's you just asked me, and I told you. They were too cheap to take back any salary in the Harden
Jared deal. Jared Allen was never going to re-sign here. It was just never going to happen.
You don't know that. He would have gone anywhere that paid him money. But you asked
so many conversations about that.
But here's the thing: playing the vets has done what for this team? Give me one positive.
Playing the vets has helped build their value for later in the season. And I know nobody wants to hear that right now. Nobody wants to, but it's the truth.
Maybe
it's the truth.
Possibly
the people that are pissed off at this team right now are thinking. In the context of today, how can this team be better today? And yes, playing KJ Martin over Daniel House would make this team better today. However, that's not the goal. The goal is to not be better today. The goal is to be better within the middle of the decade.
So that's Oh, God. Okay. So you're telling me that's code for you just put lipstick on a pig and said they're trying to lose games.
No,
right now.
I have no that's lipstick. I have no pig.
That's what they're trying to do. Okay. Why do you not play DJ Augustine tonight? He wasn't hurt. DJ Augustine.
They opted for Josh Christopher.
Oh, my
God. Gave Josh Christopher the 5 minutes.
Okay. But DJ Augustine is the only guy that actually can run the offense for this team. He's the only one that can actually set up the offense. Why is he not playing? Where is Armani Brooks? Why did you sign Armani Brooks if you're not going to play him? There's a rotational problem.
They got to play. They got to play a lot of guys, Mike. You can only play 5 guys. That's the tough part about basketball, especially when you have a team as talented as, you know, look, the Rockets are a talented team. And if
they are not a talented team, this team is.
Yes,
awful.
They are. No, yes, they are not. Talented.
They are not talented.
You can't, the thing is, Mike, is this you can't is do awful. Half of what they can do. So you can't be talking about it.
I can talk. I can 100%.
Basketball
1-10. Now, they're not talented. They are not talented in any stretch.
Compared to the rest of the NBA, they are less talented than the rest of the NBA. But that doesn't mean they're not a talented team.
They're not a talented team. By NBA standards, they are not talented. Yes, do they have talent compared to you and I?
They have NBA abilities. They have a lot of NBA abilities.
Their coaching staff doesn't. Their coaching staff is awful.
The coaching staff is not the issue here, Mike. We can't just take 10 games or 11 games or how much and immediately assume that the coaching staff is terrible. In fact, we look at this team right now. There are so many games where we've lost by free throws and turnovers. Now, the turnovers thing can be attributed to a lot of different things. It can be attributed to who the point guard is. And at this point, KPJ is the point guard. Whether he should be or not really shouldn't be the question, because he's going to be the point guard for this season. And he's going to improve as the season goes on. And if he proves that he's not that guy in the future, then at least he has those ball creating abilities that a guy like Kevin Porter should have. Every 6'6 guard should have the ability to play make and all of that. And he needs those skills in his bag. And he's getting that experience firsthand right now when the team is not good. And the whole thing with John Wall, put John Wall on this team and we're what? 4-7? Maybe at best. And what does that do, Mike? What is 4-7?
Well, we don't know. We can't speculate.
Okay, but what
because he won't play.
Does 4-7 make this team a contender?
No, but 4-7.
Exactly.
Hold on. But at least it gives your guys something to look at positively and not seeing the fact that they're 1-9. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time a Rockets assistant got plucked for a head coaching job in the NBA? Can you remember? Because the assistant coaches for this team, for this organization, I should say, have been a problem for longer than Silas has been here. They don't choose their assistant coaches wisely.
I couldn't disagree more.
They haven't done it in 10 years.
You're telling me that John Lucas is not important to this team?
He's important in the aspect of character building. I agree. What has it led to on the court?
And player development. And player development. He's huge for player development.
Okay, so he's been in player development for...
Teaching these young players how to become professionals.
Congrats. That's why you have veteran leadership. That's why you've said, and a lot of other people have said, that's why you have John Wall. So now you want John Wall, you need John Lucas, you have DJ Augustine, you have all these different guys. And let me ask you a question. In all honesty, outside of tonight, Jalen Green, has he impressed you as a Houston Rocket thus far?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. Shengun, great player. 100%. You've gone 2 out of 4 in the first round thus far. You don't know what Christopher is. You don't know what
Garuba will be.
What Garuba will, because he won't play Garuba. Why wouldn't he play Garuba?
It makes no sense. Here's the thing to me.
Why didn't he play in the third quarter when Jeremy? The fact, if we get beat by one more scrub, I swear to God, I'm going to burn the whole fucking thing to the ground.
Mike, I'm calling the fire department, because you're going to burn this thing down several times, not just this season, but probably next season and maybe even the season after that.
That's a problem with coaching. You have a
I don't necessarily think it's a problem with coaching yet. It's way too early for me to talk Silas out of this. This is okay. Tonight was the 83rd game of Coach Silas's career. This is the first of his second season as an NBA head coach. And he's given a roster that, by NBA standards that we've already established today, is not talented compared to NBA standards. So how can you put the blame on Silas?
He's a part of it. What I've said this entire show, I'm not saying it's time to get rid of Silas. I'm not saying that.
But the thing about Silas and the whole Rockets team,
you
need two things. You need two things with this team: patience and time. And that's something that a lot of Rockets fans don't have, because this is the first losing season that they've had. Last season was the first losing season that we had in 15 years. 15 years, Mike. You want to know when that was? I was in the third grade. And now I graduated college last year. So that's how long it's been since the Rockets have been bad. And that's why people, majority of the fan base, are impatient.
Bad in your mind. To me, this is a long time.
Everybody's mind, they're bad.
They haven't done anything in 20 years. I don't care if they have winning seasons. No one cares. No one cares about winning seasons. It's about performing at the highest level, which this organization has not done.
And recently, they've had 2020, they won a playoff series. 2019, they won a playoff series. 2018, they won two.
Who cares?
So that's like the thing is, Mike, is that's what I'm saying. Is you are the face of a lot of Rockets fans that are disappointed and frustrated that the team is not contending right now. Is that fair?
It's not no, it's not even contending. It's about, as I tweeted multiple times tonight, that this is what pisses me off. I don't care about losing games with this roster. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me, the fact of how they're doing it. This is middle school stuff. Free throws, turnovers.
Yes, rotations. And that is on the players. That is not on Silas.
Silas
takes responsibility for it because you know you can't blame those players who are so young and still learning, but they are doing it together.
But if you're not going to hit your free throws, then there's the bench, and you sit their ass on the bench. That's middle school basketball, dude.
Exactly. So that is not on Silas. I'm sorry. It's not.
It's on Silas. No, that is on Silas.
You can't just say, Kevin Porter, we're going to bench you. Kevin Porter's your best player. Or Christian Woods, your best player. You can't just bench those guys. It doesn't work like that. They need to learn through experience. And that's what they're doing here. At least with this team, the reason why I'm not really that mad about how the Rocket season has gone so far is because they're playing majority of these games, they're playing them pretty close. I think out of all the games they've played so far, I want to say they've had just the Utah game and the Minnesota game, 2 out of 11, like pure blowouts. So they've been competitive in 9 of these games so far. And to me, yes, they came out on the losing end. That should be a good thing for us because then that increases our chances of getting the highest draft pick again in the lottery.
And so you want to go through the same thing next year where we get the second best player in the draft?
Like I said.
That's what we did last year.
Okay, but imagine having more. Like, you can't have – like, imagine having more talent. Imagine having more of these, like, guys. Like, I know Paolo Banchero is getting a lot of talk in the thing. And I'm still very premature on this whole, you know, let's talk next year's draft already. But to me, it's like, I just think to me, the Rockets are eventually going to get more talent. Like they are a player away. Let's be real. There is still one piece.
No, they're not.
Okay. Come so on, how many man. Players away are they?
That's the problem when you go with draft picks is that you don't know and you won't know for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, but Mike, we've
talked about this. That's why we drafted this.
The Rockets, look at the Astros, Mike. Look at the Astros.
You can't compare it. You can't compare baseball to basketball.
Absolutely, you can.
Not with the number of players. Not with the number of players that you have on your roster.
So
not with the fact that you play 162 games versus 82. It's apples and oranges, dude.
Okay. So let's look at basketball terms here.
Okay.
What teams have been able to buy their way into contention?
The Lakers.
Okay.
The Nets.
Okay. In Los Angeles and New York.
The Bucks did it last year by winning.
Bucks did it through the draft.
No, they did. Okay. They did really? The draft. Really? Really? They got Jrue Holiday through the draft?
Okay, but really, they got Brooke Lopez
through the draft? Right? Yeah, they got their main guys through the draft.
They got him through the draft. They got Middleton, and Middleton was a draft pick. Like he was a draft project for them.
Okay, but they signed Bobby Portis. They signed Jrue Holiday.
Yes, that comes later down the line, Mike. These guys are still rookies. Giannis was 8 years into his career before he got to an NBA Finals.
Okay,
it's gonna take time, but. Even like, look, the Bucks were like, they were a 15 win team, a 20 win team all those years, and they got there. It takes time. And look, I'm not saying that Jalen Green is Giannis here, and I'm not saying that Kevin Porter is Chris Middleton, and I'm not saying these guys. And then, yes, they decided, okay, we're a player away, let's go and get Jrue Holiday, and we'll mortgage our future and risk to get him. But at this point, the Rockets are not there yet. They're not close to being there yet. And that's okay. It takes time. And it takes patience as fans to get through this. And to me, I just think it's it's frustrating, and it does, honestly, in a little bit of a way, it frustrates me because we know we're not going to win. We know that. We know that this team is not good enough yet.
You knew that we weren't good enough to win tonight?
We were good enough to win tonight. They were down 3 with just a few minutes to go.
So tonight doesn't piss you off that we lost on our home court to the Detroit Pistons?
Look,
really?
Yes, I'm not happy that they lost. I'm not saying that.
That's all I'm asking for.
I'm not the kind of, but hey, you know what? I'd rather lose to the Pistons and be competitive than to not be competitive at all. They were competitive, Mike. You can't say they weren't competitive.
They lost. Who cares if it's by 1 point or 40? It's the same thing. Losing is losing.
No, that's not it, Mike.
It's 100%. Because
the thing is, they could have lost tonight by 40 and looked totally lost doing it.
They looked lost in losing by, what, 4 or 5, whatever the hell they lost by tonight? They lost by 8 points.
Okay,
they lost.
Hold that thought. They were lost, and yet they still had a chance to win. That, to me, shows that this is not too far away and they can still be competitive in terms of they have a chance to win because they are close in score. The Rockets are not playing their best basketball and yet they still have these chances to win. That's why I'm not worried.
Because
the thing is, these things are going to get fixed and these things are going to get better over time. That this team will progress and this team will get better. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be a few months from now, but this team is getting better as the games go on. It might not show that in the box scores and it might not show that in the win-loss column, but this team is getting better. This team is getting better. I don't care about the Pistons. I don't care about the Jazz. I don't care about the Warriors or whoever they play. I care about the Houston Rockets. And if the Rockets are getting better game in, game out, then that is what matters to me. And for those that are saying they're not getting better game in and game out, they're not actually watching the games. They're just seeing if they win or if they lose, and that's what they're basing it off of. And this season is not about the wins and losses. This season isn't about it. Next season probably won't be about it. And you just got to watch the basketball. Watch the basketball for what it is and be impressed with that. And if you can't do that, if you can't stomach the losses that this team is going to take this season, then this is not the team for you. Go watch a team like the Golden State Warriors that are winning every night. That's the team you should go be watching. But no, you're a Rockets fan, Mike. You're a loyal guy. So am I. The whole city of Houston behind us. The whole world of Rockets fans, all of Red Nation, we're behind us. But this season is not about wins and losses. If you like a team that wins a lot, go watch the Warriors. Go watch the Knicks. Go watch the Bulls.
Okay.
It's not the Rockets.
But
watch Rockets to enjoy the basketball, enjoy the experience.
So Kevin Porter Jr., you're going to tell me, is infinitely better this year than he was last year?
Kevin Porter Jr. is learning from his mistakes.
That's not what I asked you. Is he a better basketball player now than when he got here?
Kevin Porter, yes, absolutely.
No, it's not absolutely. He's the same player. He's the same player he was last year. He's actually scoring a lot less.
He's a very different player, in fact. He's taking a very different role.
He's taking a different role. It's a wrong role.
I don't think you can say that yet. I don't think it's fair to him.
They're getting better. Who's getting better? Give me a guy who's getting
Deshaun
better.
Tate is getting better. Jalen Green is getting better. KJ Martin's getting better.
How do you know? He was on the court for 9 minutes tonight, KJ Martin was. How do you know he's getting better? He won't play him enough. How do we know if Armani Brooks
is
improved?
I'm taking every game that I've seen so far, and I'm seeing them as it goes. And as a collective, I do think all of these guys are getting better. The thing with KPJ, and I'm glad you brought that up, is because I think what's going on with Kevin Porter, he's obviously not playing as well as we know that we can, because we saw him drop 50 last year. I think with Kevin Porter, what we saw is this Rockets team, I think, is still trying to, you know, they're trying to win every game. And look, that's great. I'm loving the fact that we put out a team that wants to win every night, because if we weren't, that would be an issue to me. That would be the biggest red flag.
They're not trying to lose games. They're absolutely trying to lose games.
Okay,
look at who they're playing. They're trying to lose games, which is fine because that's what a lot of the fans want.
No,
lose games to get a better draft pick. to get a better draft pick, to go into a lottery that you're not guaranteed a draft pick on. It's a terrible
strategy. The thing is, Mike, is you are misinterpreting me for saying this team is not ready to win an NBA championship this year.
I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I didn't say you. What I said was, is
the fans, no fans want their team to lose. If their fans wanted the team to lose, then they're probably the fan of the rival teams.
Everybody's talking about Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, all these different dudes. You don't get to that point without wanting your team to lose games. Again,
why I'm trying to hold off on all that chatter as long as we can. Eventually, we will start to have to talk about those guys. Hopefully, we won't have to until much later in the season. But at this point, like, to me, look, I think Rockets fans at the end of the day just need to calm the F down about this team and to not be so critical of these guys. Look at what happened with Christian Wood over the weekend. People, so up in arms over Christian Wood about like a small little like press conference after a loss, a 1-point loss at that, and immediately assumed that he wanted a trade. And to me, that is what I have an issue with. I have a big issue with it, if I'm being honest. That to me shows the just absolute toxicity of Rockets Twitter and Red Nation right now to those that are seeing it, because not every word and every movement of body language defines whether a player wants to be here or not. This is not the James Harden era. This is not the Russell Westbrook era. We have guys that want to be here. They've said it so many times. They've proven it many times as well. And to me, I just think that is such a negative attitude and just a negative atmosphere for the team to be around. It's just not, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for this team. And it's not healthy for the fans either. And I just think it's just, We need to calm down. This is just one loss at the end of the day. Yes, I would have loved to win tonight because it was the Pistons. I don't like the Pistons because, you know, of the kind of back and forth that we've had. I don't like any team, to be honest with you. I like the Rockets and that's it. But at the same time, yes, this would have been a nice game to win considering the whole Cade and Jaylen thing. But at the end of the day, we just need to calm down. Kevin Porter Jr. will be fine. He's had a few injuries so far this season. He's learning a new thing. I think he's playing more in here than he is out there. And the thing is, I think that's what the Rockets are doing right now. They're playing more in here, trying to get, you know, trying to speed their game up to the NBA level. And in by doing that, they're losing their concentration on the important things like making free throws and turning the ball over, look, free throws are the same at every level. So that's the thing, is they're spending so much energy and time towards trying to evolve their games from the G League or college or wherever they were before into the NBA. And because they're spending all that energy there, they're losing the basics. They're not, you know, throwing a crisp enough pass on an inbounds, or they're not or they're drawing, or they're walking into a charge or something like that. So there's a lot of things here that point to me thinking like this team is close. Like if you take like 10 of these free throws over the course of all these games, the Rockets might be a 4-7 team or a 5-6 team or whatever. The fixes are small. This is not a big problem that they have. And even if it is if it's a big problem, my big problem would be if they were losing these games at home, or maybe
they just lost.
If they were losing by a lot at home, they just had a 5-game road trip, Mike.
God,
they just had a 5-game road trip.
But everything you're talking about comes back to coaching.
They were at home, and on top of that, I just like you can't just take this one loss for the Pistons, one game out of 82, and just immediately assume that that's the Rockets, you know, forever. This team learns. This team is going to learn from this. And I have no doubt that this team got better tonight, even with the loss. And I understand it's a hard concept for a lot of Rockets fans to adopt. But if you want to watch this team and get excited about it, then quit focusing on the wins and losses and focus on the actual basketball and the growth of these players.
But everything you've talked about, literally everything you just listed, can come back to coaching.
No, it can't.
Steven
Silas cannot make a damn free throw because he ain't on the court.
Listen to me. If Kevin Porter Jr., right, is playing the way he's playing right now, You cannot play him 30 plus minutes on the court. He played 36 minutes tonight.
Okay, so how does he learn? How does he learn, Mike?
You sit his ass on the bench until he shows that he can consistently do his job better.
And who are you going to play instead?
DJ Augustine. Look at his plus minuses the past five games.
DJ Augustine.
He's been a positive.
How is that going to help?
Jalen Green. You're going to tell me a guy who can actually run an NBA offense in DJ Augustine compared to Kevin Porter Jr., who has shown absolutely no ability on a consistent basis to run an NBA offense. DJ Augustine can't. DJ Augustine would make.
But DJ Augustine isn't going to be the guy that needs to know how to run the offense in 2025.
That's not my point. That my point is right now. You just said yourself they're trying to win games. Let me ask you a question. Consistently, who gives you a better shot at the point guard position to win games for this roster? DJ Augustine or Kevin Porter Jr.?
Kevin Porter.
Not even close. It's DJ Augustine.
Kevin Porter has so much more abilities than DJ Augustine. I get where you're coming from. DJ Augustine.
Not to run in offense. I'm not talking about putting the ball in the hole. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who is more adept to running this offense for Silas. It's DJ Augustine. Consistently.
Yes.
Literally.
But my thing is DJ Augustine. And look, the same could be. Well, the thing is, I'll Uno reverse this back to you, Mike.
Okay.
Daniel House and KJ Martin. Why KJ is he Martin. Playing the veteran over the young guy?
Because he can't run a rotation to save his life. He hasn't been able to do
okay,
it for
so,
2 years.
But that's the part that confuses me a little bit by your logic, because you're saying that he's wrong for playing Kevin Porter because he's the young guy.
Correct.
But he's wrong also for playing the veteran House over the young guy, KJ Martin.
Because KJ Martin gives you a better chance to win games with his skill set.
And Kevin Porter gives you a better chance to win games with his skill set.
Yeah, because as the point guard, he's done a great job thus far this season, right? Averaging 4.5 turnovers a game, not averaging what he averaged last year.
Mike, that's how you learn. That's how you learn, Mike.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Mistakes. Okay, so here's the question then, right? My question to you is, if you're going to lose games, then why is he not playing Garuba? Why is he not playing Brooks? Like, you're going to talk about this is the only way you get experience. Then full-fledged go in on the youth. They've shown
but
it.
He's also, but the thing is, they're also looking for the ability to flex these guys like Daniel House, flex these guys like Eric Gordon, David Nwaba, and put them into an ability to trade them later in the season to get more assets. Because the thing is with the draft is like the lottery. You can have as many tickets as possible, and you hope that one is the winning ticket. And you never know when you can get that, whether it's in the first round or the second round or even an undrafted guy. And the Rockets have every one of those guys on this roster. They have early draft picks like Jalen Green. They have the middle of the road picks like Kevin Porter. And you have guys like that. And then you have your undrafted guys, your Wood, Tice, and Jayshon Tate. You have a whole bunch of these guys on the roster. And when you get to the second half of the season, then they'll go full youth, because that's how this team will learn.
Then
and this
don't
team
be pissed off
better over time and experience. You just need to be patient about it, because if you're going to be like this all season, Mike, it's not going to be healthy for you.
Hold on.
It's
but under, let me clarify what I just said, right? I'm talking about if you're going to lose games, okay? You just lost to Detroit. This is rock bottom. Okay, this is rock bottom.
No,
it's absolutely.
Last year was rock bottom. This
no,
is
th- no.
Last
this,
year was rock
tonight,
bottom.
Okay. We can agree to disagree. When I say you have to play DJ Augustine as the point guard, the only reason I'm saying that is because you don't have a better option. If they had a rookie that they could play at that position, I would say play the rookie. If they had, let's say they drafted Sharif Cooper instead of Usman Garuba, I would say play Sharif Cooper as the point guard.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sharif Cooper, if he was on this team, would have gotten the play tonight. But at the same time, yeah. That's a decision that from Rafael Stone that I haven't fully agreed with. It's probably the one thing I didn't, but I understand his logic. He went for the best players available when he had them. He liked all those players enough to draft them. Right. Not all of those four guys are going to hit, unfortunately. And the chances are one of those guys that won't hit probably going to be Garuba or Christopher, not because they can't play in the NBA, but they can't play given Houston's already crowded rotation in the front court and in the back court when it comes to Christopher in the backcourt and Gruber in the front court.
But that's why I'm saying that DJ Augustine, by the numbers, gives you the best chance at point guard to win games. And if you, along with everybody else, is saying that's their number one goal right now, then you got to play them. But my thing is, with what you just said, if you're saying that they are going to play the vets now, they're going to look the way they've looked through 10 games with playing the vets, then the fans have every single right to question the coaching staff, to question the organization and the direction that they want to go. I totally get it, and I'm on board with it. Because if you're watching these games, you have to look at this and you have to say, why not put Garuba out there to go play against Jeremy Grant, who went for 20 plus in the third quarter on your home
Jeremy court. Society, even though he spells his name wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you got to respect the Jeremy, okay? I totally understand that. Absolutely. But that's why I'm saying it's moments like that where – and the thing that pisses me off more than anything about this coaching staff is that, especially Silas right now, he has that same stupid look on his face that he just – he doesn't know how to coach his way out of a paper bag right now, Jeremy.
No, Silas just has a good poker face.
No, he just doesn't. No,
he's had the same expression on his face since he got here.
Since being the least winning coach through however many games he's been here through. And that's the thing, is that I want to see – good for Christian Wood. I love Christian Wood getting pissed off and saying the offense should run through me. It absolutely should run through him. The fans saying trade me or trade him and all this is stupid. You know who I want to see get a little bit emotional is Steven Silas. It's okay to come out and say, we got to be better. We suck right now because they do suck right now.
But that's not his style. And
then change your style and be adaptable.
No.
Yes. Yes.
He's being plenty adaptable. And the thing is,
how is he being adaptable?
You know what I think, Mike?
In what sense has he been adaptable?
I think that I am the Steven Silas of this podcast.
I mean, okay.
I am the calm that is driving the storm right now.
The calm driving.
You are the season of the podcast.
You're a lot more talented than Steven Silas at what you do.
Oh, well, so. That is extremely flattering because Steven Silas is incredibly talented at his job.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Oh, really?
Mike, how? Mike, I don't think it's very fair. I don't think it's very fair at all.
Why not?
Because he worked his ass off 20 years to get to where he is. And
would I love to have a beer with Steven Silas? Absolutely. Do I think he's a nice guy? Yeah, but you can't honestly look at me straight in the face and tell me that he's great at his job because he's not. He's not. Not yet.
I'm going to look at you in your face and say Steven Silas is good at his job.
Come on, man. You don't even believe that. Just be honest.
I do believe it.
You can say it, but you honestly, come on.
No, I genuinely believe it.
Okay.
And the reason why is because he knows this is not a today thing. He knows this team. He's trying to build Rome, and Rome cannot be built in a day.
Too bad he's not going to be here when the team is good.
He's not building a quick little dinghy to get him through this. He's trying to build an empire, and you don't build an empire in one day. You build it through time and effort and energy, and that is how this team is working right now. And I understand. Look, the results right now aren't good, but the character that's being built right now for this team is essential down the line to when this team is legitimately good. And the talent on this roster, give him some time, let him grow a little bit. It's there. And whether Silas is the coach or not, I don't know if he'll last long enough. Because sometimes when you don't win, you do need to change. But the thing about Silas is he came into this season knowing what the job was. And yes, Alex, a few wins would be nice. And a few free throws, if you make them, get you a win. Excuse me about that. I don't know why that went out.
But they didn't. Like, that's the thing is, like...
But they didn't. You're right. And they'll learn from that. I'm of the experience that... Whenever I played sports growing up, I learned more from my losses than my wins. I learned more and I moved forward. And that is exactly how this team should be run.
But they're not changing. They're not changing their habits, Jeremy. It'd be different. Their free throw percentage continues to decline.
It's a long season, Mike.
They continue to turn the ball over more and more each game. Like, that's my thing.
Turnovers tonight?
They had
13 turnovers tonight.
13 turnovers.
Which 10 is in the first half, 10 in the first half, 3 in the second half, and 0 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So they made the adjustments. They made the adjustments.
The adjustments are there. And yes, I agree. You learn more from your losses than your wins. But damn it, it feels really good to win.
Yes, it does. When that win comes, it'll be nice. And I think a lot of people were expecting that win to be tonight because it was home and it was against a team that had the same record as us. And I think that is where the frustration lies, is the Rockets, oh, they should have had this one. They should have won this one, Mike. They should have been all this. And because they didn't, then it's all hell is broken loose. But
no,
it's one game.
It is one game, but this has been building up for the past 10 games because they're on a 10-game losing.
Okay, and we still have 71 games to go.
I totally agree. Here's my question, though, right? You tell me all these guys are getting better. They're not getting better. Like, they're staying the same or they're getting worse.
I disagree. Look at Christian Wood. Christian Wood barely scored in the two games over the weekend, and tonight – he looked like the Rockets' best player tonight. 20 points, 9 rebounds. You know, I think he looked better tonight. I think the Rockets definitely tried to get him more involved in the offense. They needed to do that over the weekend. They did that tonight. Kevin Porter made some mistakes tonight, but I think overall, had a good night for the, relatively speaking. Jalen Green, I thought, had one of his better games tonight. Jayshon Tate always plays like the hardest guy on the floor. Eric Gordon could have been a little bit better, but 11 points on 4 of 9 shooting. I think that's, what you can expect from a guy like that.
They need to trade him.
And they will, Mike.
Him, house.
This isn't wall. NBA 2K when you can simulate through the season and trade him at the trade deadline or trade him whenever you want. It's not like that. And they will. Like, the thing is, February will be here before you know it. And in 3 months' time, Eric Gordon will probably not be Houston Rocket. And when that day comes, more time will open up for those guys like Christopher, like Armani Brooks and KJ Martin. And those guys will get that action. And then we can see this team, more for what it is. And then the thing is that with the next season, Mike, you know what's going to happen next season? You know what's going to happen in the offseason? They're going to sign veterans to one-year deals to try to flip them at the deadline. And they're going to take over some of these guys, these younger guys. And we're going to have the same conversation a year from now as to why.
And it's going to be more roster mismanagement. Oh, look, let's sign this guy to a one-year deal to get a draft pick. Ooh. And then we're going to have Silas who's not going to play him. Like, then what? What are we going to do next year when we have the worst record in the league this year and we don't get the number one pick overall again? What happens then?
And they'll get a guy. Get a guy that's hopefully going to change the franchise. And yes, it is. And I know your whole thing about drafts. The draft is not a guarantee. It's not, but nothing's a guarantee in the NBA. And yes, you would love to be a team like the Lakers, the Nets, that can just go and buy talent because they are in the city that they're in. And you would love for all of that to be the reason, how you build your team. But that's just not what the Houston Rockets are all about. They have to go and they have to be shrewd in their transactions. They have to build get as many lottery tickets as they can, throw as many stuff at a wall and see what sticks. And eventually these things are going to stick. Jalen Green will stick. Kevin Porter,
maybe,
whether he's the point guard or not, will stick.
Maybe.
And Christian Wood, I think, will stick. Or he'll be enough of a trade asset down the line, but we should not be talking about Christian Wood getting traded anytime soon. This offseason, maybe, but I'm not ready to talk about that. We still have 71 games to go. There's a whole lot of basketball left to be played. And tonight, although it's not the result you wanted, it's what happened. You have to own it. You have to take it for what it is. And you move forward to Friday. Friday, you've got Portland on deck, Mike. What do you want to see out of Portland on Friday?
Not the same old crap that we saw tonight.
Fair enough.
And that's the thing. And the last thing I want to tell you, because we beat this horse to death. From what you just said, you can't get mad at the fans for being upset with the fact that even on this show, we've had the same conversation now for 10 straight games. Same. It's the same bullshit, dude. It's the same things over and over. Silas can't manage a rotation.
It doesn't have to be.
So what do you like? It's not roses. It doesn't have to be. What would you do? What would you discuss differently, or how would you act towards the current situation that fans are doing that you don't agree with? Like the fact that you,
I think fans are looking at this because you're saying it's the same old, same old. The most consistent thing out of the last 8 games is that they've lost every one of them, or 9 games. That's why fans are frustrated. Fans are frustrated because the team is 1-10 right now. That's why fans are frustrated. And I'm totally understandable. That's totally understandable. But at the same time, you knew what you were signing up for. You knew you were signing up for a rebuilding team, whether it was going to be, you know, this bad or whatever. I don't even think it's that bad, to be honest. I really don't.
But the thing is, Silas is not adjusting. That's the
problem. Silas is adjusting. He is adjusting. Whether he's making the right adjustments or not, that's to be discussed. But he's making adjustments. He's not insane, like doing the same thing over and over again. He's changing things game by game, trying to figure out if this works, if Y works, if X works. And it's a work in progress. And for those that are still frustrated and all that, I hope that the Rockets don't encapsulate a significant part of your life, because if it does, and you know, if your mood changes on the wins and losses of this team, you're not going to have a very mentally healthy season or a couple of seasons, because it's just not it. We need to watch this team for what it is. And this team right now, it's just a rebuilding team. So embrace the rebuild. Embrace it. And that's the thing, is I don't think very many people, even though they say they do, I don't think very many fans have truly embraced this fact that this team is a rebuilding team and accepted it. They haven't done that yet, because I don't know. And look, maybe that's just my opinion. I'm sure it is, because you and I have very different opinions on this, but look, Mike, I don't like being around negative things. And you can take a loss, and losses are negative, and wins are positive. Yes, I think we can both agree on that. But it's how you overcome from a loss or a win. And that, to me, is what this team is about.
It's fair.
Not about the wins and losses. It isn't.
It's been 3 seasons, right? You and I have each stayed consistent that we're very different. We approach this team in a very, very different way. Totally understandable.
And I can learn from you and your takes just as much as you can from mine. So
absolutely,
whether you align more with Mike or whether you align more with me and my laid back approach on the whole thing, you know, take a little bit from both of us, because I think the takes that were given tonight were positive, on both ends. And, you know, yeah, maybe I should be a little bit more pissed off that they don't make free throws, or maybe I should be a little bit more pissed off that the rotations aren't perfect. But at the same time, I understand that it's just one game and we move on to Friday.
And the thing is, I can learn from you in the sense that, yes, I agree, it's a rebuild, and it doesn't help to be as energetic about what I believe to be a situation in Silas that may need to go, right? Totally understand that. My frustration lies 100% within watching every minute of every game like you and I do. I personally don't see the growth and development of him as a coach to realize who needs to be on the court in certain situations.
And I do.
Can he learn from that?
I do. As a former coach myself, I do.
Same. No, I mean, I coached basketball for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And it's going to hurt to put one of your best players on the bench. In my opinion, Kevin Porter Jr. should not be the starting point guard for this team. You and I totally differ on that opinion. Totally understand that. In my eyes, he's not ready for that moment right now. That's why DJ Augustine makes a lot more sense in that role. Watch what Kevin Porter Jr. does if you move him into that 6th-man role when they move Eric Gordon. See what happens. That's all. That's where I'm going to leave mine.
I think we could go on this for hours and hours and hours, but
we should.
We got to park the rocket ship somewhere, Mike. It's almost midnight here on the East Coast. So we're going to park this rocket ship now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode from wherever you listen to on Twitter or on Facebook. Be sure to follow us on all of those platforms. You can get the Dream Take on our podcast Twitter, or you can follow us at DreamShakeSBN on Facebook and Twitter. You can also head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And be sure to check us out on Friday. I'll be available Friday, Mike. If I'm not sure if you will, we'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah, but you'll hear from one of us on Friday after the game against the Portland Trailblazers. I'm really excited for that game. I think we're going to, you know, we're going to win one of these games. Not sure if it's going to be Friday, but, you know, coming into tonight, Mike, Portland has not won a game on the road this season. So maybe that's a good omen.
That means they're due. That's the way I look at
it. And you know what? The Rockets are due too. So some team is going to get their due diligence on Friday. Be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown at
BSW Podcast _MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.